Welcome back, Tokers and Tokettes. Radical Russ here backstage at the 25th anniversary Seattle Hemp Fest. And joining me here from CannaFuture.com, we've got Fred, a.k.a. Stinkbud. How you doing, Fred?
Good. How you doing?
I don't know whether to call you Fred or Stinkbud.
You know, go ahead and call me both.
No, that's Mr. Stinkbud to you.
It doesn't matter. You can call me Stinkbud.
Okay, Stinkbud. Why not?
Stinkbud's one of those names that you kind of like have to live with, you know, years later, that you kind of wish that maybe you hadn't picked when you did it.
Dude, I got tagged with Radical Russ in seventh grade and shake it.
Hasn't stopped.
All right, so cannabis consulting, genetics, photography, video, and marketing. Tell us what you're up to.
Well, you know, I've been writing for High Times magazine. I got an article coming out this November on a farm called Mount Hood Farms. And basically, I'm just kind of, I do a lot of photography and marketing for different cannabis companies. I was a general manager at a dispensary down in Oregon for last year. And then so when we switched over to recreational, I was there for the big switch and got to see everything happen. I work with a lot of smaller growers, just kind of helping them get set up in Oregon. So people will get a hold of me and they'll just kind of like say, you know, how do I get started? And I can hook them up with everything they need, genetics. I'm also doing some breeding. So I've been working on my own strains, my own feminized seeds. And also down in Oregon, I supply genetics to some of the local dispensaries there.
Wow, just all around, jack of all trades.
Well, you know, that's just part of half my life. The other half is, you know, I'm a photographer in real life and stuff. So I'm a pretty busy guy, yeah.
So you're also integrating the photography into the cannabis side.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I've been a photographer for 30 years. And more on the web design and that sort of thing. And so what I've done is I've taken everything that I've known for years doing photography and stuff and basically have used that in the cannabis industry. So my marketing knowledge and helping companies like, you know, doing Instagram campaigns, that sort of thing is just... I go out, I'll take a bunch of photos, and it works out pretty good because I can do an article on like, let's say, a farm. They get national, worldwide exposure. You know, High Times is always looking for good articles, and, you know, I get paid for the articles. Just, it really is one of those win-win situations for everybody.
In your experience, taking pictures, going around and looking at all these different farms, what are some of them that stand out and why? What makes for a good photo essay on a farm?
Well, you know, actually, what's kind of interesting is they're all almost exactly the same.
Really?
Yeah, they're very, very similar. Like, especially if you start thinking about from a soil standpoint, they're all very similar.
Yeah.
A lot, you know, they all use computers now. Everything's computer controlled. They all have the room set up kind of like, you know, on little kind of rising tables. And, you know, it's all very similar. There's actually probably more variation, I would say. Like the happening thing is really genetics just seems to be going off right now. All the new strains that are coming out, always, it seems like every day there's something new and happening in the whole genetics industry. So.
Speaking of the genetics, many of us are going to prize these plants for their effect. Are there different genetics that are prized for their look with respect to taking photos and such?
You know, that's interesting that you would say that because it's almost more of a difference between like whether you grow indoor or outdoor. And let me just tell you a story. When I was down in the dispensary, one of the farms that I was working with, they gave me Gorilla Glue number 4. It was grown both indoor and outdoor. It was the exact same strain, grown the exact same way, same farm, exact same genetics.
Yeah.
One was indoor, one was outdoor. I couldn't give the outdoor away at $7 a gram, and I couldn't keep the indoor in stock at $12 a gram. And all it really came down to was the bag appeal. And so bag appeal is huge. You know, the indoor was all crystally and super dank, you know, all calyxes. It really didn't have much leaf. The outdoor was really leafy. And even if it was, you couldn't really trim it anymore. You know, I mean, it wasn't like it wasn't trimmed well, but it just didn't have that bag appeal. Another time I had like this blackberry kush, and it was absolutely white, just completely white with crystals. It was so dank, right? Smelled good, looked good. And so the guy came in, but it wasn't tested. I'm like, going, oh, well, this is going to test out really big. And normally I don't ever take anything into the shop that's not tested first, right? But I'm like, you needed to get rid of it, you know, and the price was really, really affordable. And so I said, you know, I'm going to go ahead and get it. And I know it'll test out. There's just no way it wouldn't, right? So I end up going through and, you know, I went ahead and got a pound and sent it out to get tested. And what it came back at, like 13%, like 12.8%.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, boy. Like, Yes. So, you know, it's just surprising at how it looks versus how it actually tests out. The thing is I didn't have any problems getting rid of it. It all went out the door in a day and a half just because of the way it looked. So the way it looks, it's almost like you can get a different look depending on whether you go indoors or outdoors.
That's
interesting.
Did you get a chance to sample both? Was there any qualitative difference, really?
Not too much. I actually like the outdoor, and it was the same percentage. It smoked very similar. It tasted the same. I explained it to the people, and they'd have the two jars next to each other. You look at one jar, you look at the other jar, it just looked so much better.
That's it.
They would literally pay almost twice as much just because it looked better.
You know, it reminds me of something we're learning about lately with produce and how, you know, we get our oranges and apples and pears and they're all these perfectly shaped fruit. But there's a whole bunch of ugly ass fruit that's perfectly good to eat.
Yeah.
Perfectly fine, but it doesn't make it to the shelves. Walmart now is talking about having a separate section where they sell the ugly ass fruit.
And that's where I would be if they were selling me.
Oh, man, stink bud. Cannabis consultant, photographer, grower, man about town here. I tell you, when I'm shopping, the few times I have to shop, because truthfully in my job I get a lot of weed given to me.
Sure.
But when I do shop, I'm looking for the sun-grown stuff because I kind of got that feeling. Well, first of all, it's always lower price.
Always.
And as far as if it's tested out, what do I care what it looks like? I'm smoking in a bowl. It turns dash anyway.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm glad you brought that up. So let's give folks any contact info or promotional info you need to get to them.
You can go to, I have a book called Harvest a Pound every 3 weeks. You can go to harvestapound.com and there'll be a link there to my Amazon book. And you can also go to cannafuture.com. That's my my marketing, my canna, my photography marketing business and stuff.
Okay.
So, yeah. Either one of those sites are good to go.
All right. Stink Bud, thanks so much, Fred, for joining us here on Cannabis Radio.
Yeah, it was nice meeting you.
All right. We'll be back with more from Seattle Hemp Fest right after this.